I want to talk today about resurrection, of course, but I want to talk about it in light of the scripture text from Isaiah chapter 53, by his wounds we are healed. What does that mean? What does that look like? What can be now that Jesus has lived and died and rose again? So the scripture text I'm going to read from, and you can remain seated today. I'm going to read from Isaiah 53 again. Here it is, 4 through 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So again, this is the word of the Lord for today. So Isaiah foretold this happening in Jesus centuries before Christ was born, about 700 years. The people were waiting. The Messiah would bear our pain, the text says, absorb our shame, suffer for our sin, and that out of his wounds, his sacrifice, we would be healed. That was the promise of the Messiah, the Savior who would come. That's just not just words on a page or something you would open to the Bible and see. That's not all it is. It's prophecy and promise that is actually fulfilled in Jesus. Remember the road to Emmaus and all the stuff that went on there as they're talking about Jesus is explaining to them why this had to be? And then Jesus kind of takes the veil away from their eyes and they see it. Do you see it? In Jesus, we can find healing. Since September, we've been on a journey here at Crestview Church seeking God. If you're a guest here today, I'm just going to fly through this. But to those of you who've been here, this is the journey we've been on, and I want to paint it for you because it makes sense today in light of Jesus' death and resurrection we just celebrated. We've been on a journey of seeking God, which is always that, but intentionally with the theme of discipleship, trying to see God's plan of salvation from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, when it comes to the Bible. We call it discipleship. Hearing God's invitation to walk with him, to believe and receive him, to live our life in him. Remember the Colossians text. Our lives in Christ are found and hidden in him. In a nutshell, here is what we've learned over the past 7 months. In the beginning, God, right? We started at the beginning. This is so critical because it was God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, spoke all things into being, giving life to all things, giving order and beauty and purpose and calling, all of these things, and his presence was intimate with humanity. That's shalom. That's what it was like in the beginning. And we, humanity, created in God's image, so such a vivid, powerful, packed with goodness, created in beautiful, intimate relationship with God, our Maker, who knows us well. Intimacy with one another, right there in the garden. Not the stuff we deal with on a daily basis today, one to another, but beautiful. And then there's the relationship they had with creation. Harmonious and very good. We call it shalom. Then we experience something else, and it happens right away in Scripture. You know, two verses on the creation of the heavens and the earth, all this goodness, all this beauty, and then chapter 3, right? You're like, it's almost like hits you across the face. What just happened? Because things are not the way they're supposed to be. If we are truly have our eyes open, we can see it, we experience it. And I would say that's where the wound came in for us. And you could call it a self-inflicted wound. Humanity rejecting God's good design and God's good purposes for us, his desires for us. And I'm telling you, it was very good. Talk about unbelievable hospitality and generosity. God gave it. And yet, the reality of sin entered into the world. It separated us from God, and it was a culpable separating on our part, dividing our hearts one from another. And it just brings into our world just a chain of chaos. It just starts to unfold. Read the biblical story, you'll see it. Look around the world today. Just look deep in here, you'll find it. We saw the truth about this. Our culpable breaking of God's law. Good law. How we miss the mark, no matter how hard we try. It's hard to hit that bullseye. And if we can see it, we start to realize how foolish our sin really is. It's foolish. And we tried not to blink as we took a hard look at sin's corrosive and progressive and pollutive and destructive touching of everything. When it comes to our human being, I'll put it that way, brokenness and wounds abound, and by sin's nature, it just proliferates. Now, let me spend just one more moment on this so we can see it, because without understanding God's story, without understanding the need for a Messiah, for a Savior, we really kind of cheapen the grace and the love of God by what he has done. We really do not truly understand what Jesus died for, what it cost him, and what it means that he rose again from the dead. Wounds. How about a relationship with God? I mean, a broken fellowship with him. Sometimes it's just a spiritual deadness. Do you carry that kind of a wound in your life? How about relationship with yourself? Like guilt or shame. Sometimes self-condemnation, just putting ourselves down by what we say, what we think, how we act. In those kind of things, we suffer from like an identity confusion for sure. Who am I? What am I? Why am I? And then there's all kinds of fears, and sometimes people even despair. Do you have a sense of that kind of wound? Or how about the relationship with others? The resentment. I love that. Mistrust, anger, envy, jealousy. I don't love that. I like the voice. Zeke is just saying, amen, go. Hate. There's a big list of realities here. Do you have them? How about the wounds of the body? Suffering, pain, sickness, loss, grief. Do you have them? How about the wounds of relationship with, say, vocation and calling? I think every one of us experiences this at different times in our different work and some of the purposes in our life. It's filled with toil. We become weary. We're frustrated. It's unfulfilling. We experience disappointment. We're bored. Sometimes it seems meaningless. Do you experience that? And how about a relationship with the heart and the mind? We all have struggles. It's great when we can get to a point where we're vulnerable with each other that way to be able to share that, but also be able to invite the healing of Christ into that. We have mind and heart divisions. Our lives are riddled with different things. I mean, addictions, and there's many of them, by the way. You may think you don't have one. I'll bet you do. Destructive habits, destructive thoughts, even unbelief. You wonder, is there something better? It kind of comes from a wound. Its root is in sin. Our sin, by the way, the sin of others that comes to us. Some of you have those. How about the random sort of sins that kind of are in the world? This is stuff we took a hard look at, and it's hard, like a societal type of sin or a natural evil, things that we grapple with to understand today. Do you carry and experience any of these wounds? Well, what can be done? Who can save us from all this? This is the story of Easter. It's the story of Scripture from beginning to end. The answer is found in Jesus. It's God's answer to our brokenness. It's God's answer to our woundedness. And it was foretold long ago with the prophet Isaiah, but do you realize this was talked about already in Genesis chapter 3? Someone will come who will crush the power of Satan, the power of evil. Already, way back then, God had a plan for us. You see, humanity in our fallenness, brokenness, woundedness, we've been trying to save ourselves for thousands of years. We still try today, by the way, thinking we're going to get there. We even image God by getting quite creative about saving ourselves, but every time we fall short, we can't. And so, this is the heart of God's story. Actual salvation found in Jesus. You see, when it comes to salvation, to the healing of our wounds, God has done it. For the past 3 months, we have looked intently on the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. Every week, right? God became incarnate. He lived faithfully. He loved perfectly. He died sacrificially. He rose victoriously. We dove deep into Jesus' healing of our wounds that only He can do. He's the only one who's been fully God, fully man. I can't unpack that all right now, but He's the only one who could do this. And He did it. To have faith in Jesus as Savior is to be born again. It's to have one's identity firmly rooted in Christ, restored, our relationship with God reconciled, to be filled with God's presence, God's power, God's purposes. We looked at some fancy terms. Justification, yes in Jesus. Atonement, yes in Jesus. Redemption, yes in Jesus. Reconciliation in all of our relationships, particularly with God, and then from there everything flows, yes in Jesus. And today we talk about the resurrection. Today is Easter. It's a Jesus resurrection celebration. And Jesus' resurrection seals the deal for us, for all who believe and receive Him. It's what causes our healing to happen. You see, without the resurrection, truly, you could read the whole story up until the resurrection, but if there's no resurrection, it's all bets are off. It just ends on the cross, and you're like, well, what about all Jesus' promises that He made? What about all the prophecies? What about all the claims Jesus made about Himself? None of it would be true. Yet, because of His resurrection, there is victory over the power of sin, its curse, its penalty, its power over sin and death and hell. Jesus' resurrection, every claim Scripture speaks about Him. What Jesus speaks of Himself, all true, every claim on the cross, our sins forgiven magnificently. And by the way, if the totality of sin just touches and affects everything in God's world, redemption, His death and resurrection through Jesus Christ. When Jesus says on the cross, "It is finished," His resurrection gives it an exclamation point. It's our hope. It's our cure. It truly is life. When Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," He is, all these claims about Him are true in His resurrection. What I don't want you to miss today either, this Easter, is that Jesus was raised in wholeness of being. A resurrected body. Do you remember Colossians? He's the firstborn to rise from the dead. Do you realize that everyone who is in Christ, you believe in Him, you receive Him, you just seek to follow Him? That's exactly what God has in mind for you. Wholeness. Now think about all the things we struggle with in this life. I gave you a pretty big list. You probably had some pop in your mind and heart. You can start to taste it now in Jesus. This resurrection power is given to us now in the sense of overcoming sin. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. We can learn to walk in that, to try to live into that, to lean into that. The beautiful thing is that in Jesus' death and resurrection, we've been given this ability to forgive. Forgiveness. God's way, right, of reconciliation, of finding redemption. Our sins forgiven, now we simply do as God. We love others as God loves us. Makes perfect sense. By his wounds we are healed. The resurrection of the body is proof of our healing in him in that one day, right? Because we live in this sort of like being able to taste it now. We can experience some of that victory and power and God's presence now and even his purposes in our life, right? We can sense that. We can enter into it. But we know that something's still missing because Christ is going to come again. And when he does, he will make it all right. All well. Resurrection day. I was thinking about this. We set this up yesterday morning, and I started thinking about it, and I thought, isn't it interesting, right? I mean, this is definitely, right, representative of Christ. He's risen. But remember the thieves on the cross? One on the left, one on the right. And one, you know, they're both kind of mocking him, but then at some point, one of them is just, right, he's like, are you who you say you are, you know? And he says, and he brings forth some faith. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. What about the one who didn't believe? I mean, only God knows, right? I was biking up. There's just been some interesting things happening. And some, I'm trying to ask God to help me notice. I went biking up Flagstaff and then down Chapman, and it drops into Boulder Canyon. And as soon as I started making the turn up Boulder Canyon, there were a couple of police cars, and it must have just happened. I mean, if I would have been riding 10 minutes earlier, I just, you know, it's just interesting to think about. It was an absolute head-on collision. Now, if you know Boulder Canyon, what that could look like or be, I have no idea. I actually didn't even look up the accident report, but I have a hard time imagining they lived.
There was a fatality.
There was. It doesn't surprise me a bit because the cars were so crunched together. Jesus died and he rose again. He became incarnate, by the way. That's really significant. Became like us in every way. Except without sin, he lived faithfully. He went all the way to a cross to take on our sin, the penalty of our sin, upon him, and he rose victoriously over it. And he says, all who believe in me will have a life. Now, by the way, that means that starts now. It doesn't start when Christ comes again or even when you die. There's something there that's going to be good too. A new heavens and a new earth when that day comes. But you can experience and taste that kind of healing in your life now, a right relationship with God. He'll give you the Holy Spirit in your life to walk with you, to walk in faithfulness and obedience. And you know, it's I think for me, it's one of those walks, right? It's kind of here. If that's the destination, you know, kind of like this. But God's with you. God is leading and guiding you. He's forgiving you. He's filling you. So I'm going to finish today where I began. Surely he took up our pain. He bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So let me go through a couple things, and then I'd like to close us out today in prayer. Jesus took up our pain and suffering through his suffering. And by the way, Jesus already suffered in a sense with his incarnation. he suffered during his life, but it was really pointed during Passion Week and then crucifixion. And he rose victoriously from that. So I'm just thinking about a broken relationship and separation from God. This is exactly what Jesus offers us, a right relationship with him, to be healed of the brokenness. I wonder about distorted identity, and I'm going to clarify that by saying our guilt, our shame, our self-condemnation, the things we rebel against. Jesus offers us healing. When it comes to broken and wounded relationships with others, and of course, right, we can only do what we can do in the sense, but Jesus offers us healing with our relationships. In fact, Jesus is our best hope. Can you imagine living life out of God's love for you and the freedom that that brings, the forgiveness he's given us, and then being able to then walk in that in our relationships with others? Even if, right, even if. That's what Christ did for us. He's our best hope. For Jesus is the author of forgiveness of grace, the author of redemption and reconciliation. By his wounds we are healed, and his resurrection makes it all true. So how can you find healing in Jesus today? I know some of this. Some of us have accepted Jesus, right? We've been walking with God. But still, it's good to be reminded that what we really need is to really completely surrender our lives. Just surrender. Stop searching for symptom reliefs. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, some, you know, rub on your joints that helps with pain. I'm not talking about that. Just stop trying to save yourself. It's not about being good enough. Jesus has done it. Just receive it and walk in it. Open yourself to the wholeness that only Jesus offers. Believe in Jesus, receive the healing he can bring. A life in Christ is what, by the way, we were made for. And this is stunning, because if you think about God's biblical story, God created, he made, he designed, he filled, he ordered, he gave purpose, he just, all kinds of such wonderful things. And even in spite of our culpable sin, if humanity, he didn't just wipe it away. Instead, he said, I'm going to redeem it. That is unbelievable love. Jesus is given the scroll of Isaiah in the Sabbath synagogue worship time. I say this a lot because it's one of my favorite passages. Jesus is given it in his hometown, right? He's asked to preach and teach that day. Why wouldn't he? His reputation as a teacher is great. Doing miracles. And he reads this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, anointing me to preach the good news, to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, his love, release from those who are caught in darkness, and bind up the brokenhearted. That's just some of it. This is Jesus' specialty, binding up brokenhearted, healing wounds. It's who he is, it's what he's done, and it's what he offers to us. So, do you recognize your need for healing? I'm going to go into prayer in a minute because, you know, I want you to go from this Easter knowing that Jesus has done it. Just believe it, receive it, walk in it. Do you recognize your need for healing? You know, it's a hindrance to healing if you don't think you need it. We all need it. Do you want to be healed? Now, I know, I don't want to get this messed up today with physical healing and all that. That's for another day. I'm not excluding that, but that's not my primary objective here. I'm talking about the heart and a relationship with God, with others, yourself. Do you want to be healed? You see, if you don't want to be healed, that's just a barrier. Ask God to open your heart and mind to him. Have you given up hope that you can be healed? The resurrection of Jesus is all the proof and hope we need that we can. Do you believe that Jesus desires to heal you? Do you believe that he's loving and he's good and merciful? Because he is. What is it that stands in your way of healing? I think at this point, we're going to go into prayer, and we want to finish anyway in a few minutes just because of some other things we have planned. But I think it'd be great for us to pause right now and just have some time for prayer. I'm going to give you a little bit of silent time to be able to just express what you want to God. If praying isn't something that's like a big mode for you with God, and you're just even wondering what your relationship is with him, if that's you, just keep it simple. Just honor what maybe the Spirit is doing in your heart and just express what that might be. The Lord God who made you, has sent a son to redeem you, knows you already better than anyone could. Don't be afraid. Just come to him. So let's go into some silent prayer. Lord Jesus, would you hear our prayer today? That this Easter Sunday would be a day that we can remember what you have done in our lives and in our hearts. I've been reading a book by Bob Schutz. It's called Be Healed. And it says that the biggest lies of our wounded lives are these: I am unwanted. I am alone. I am unworthy. Almighty God, loving and merciful, kind, generous, hospitable, the creator of the universe and each one of us, you are the God who loves us. So this dispels the lie. We are wanted. Jesus Emmanuel, you are God with us. This says clearly, we are never alone. And as far as feeling unworthy, Jesus embodies God's love and says, by my wounds, you are healed. His death, his resurrection are the exclamation point. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that we are forgiven and that you are the one who can make us whole. Amen.